Good morning. Welcome, listeners, to Christ Today, your Christian radio show, 9:30 a.m. and 104.5 FM. It's Christ Today with your host, Curtis Smith. And in my studio today are Rod and Mary Cassidy. And we're going to be doing a really interesting show today. It's going to be on, well, we'll get into it here in a moment. All right, Rod, why don't we get started? Tell us a little bit about who you are and why we're here today.
Well, you have asked us some weeks back to do a radio segment on what happens to families who are broken up by a tragic loss of a family member. And my wife and I have recently gone through that so many months ago. And we believe that God has opened the door for us to share with others who also have gone and will be going through tragedy, the loss of a child.
We're talking about the loss of a child this morning, so we're going to continue. So go ahead, Rod. Tell us a little bit about your daughter.
My wife and I only had one child, and after we were married, we waited several years. We wanted to enjoy single life as a couple, to get to know each other and have time together. But after about 8-9 years, we started thinking we're not getting any younger, and we started praying about what a blessing to bring a child into this world, but that we would want to bring it up in the fear and admonition of the Lord, as the scriptures teach. So we prayed about, and within the passing of time, the Lord gave us a little girl. We dedicated her to God, and as a result, we tried to do the best we could. As you know, you can't, it's something that we all have to go through, our parents, we make mistakes and so forth, but through the grace of God, we raised a beautiful girl. Being natives of California, we moved to the Mariposa area, where Brianna was privileged to grow up in the woods, you might say, in nature. And she didn't have a lot of the temptations and influence of city life, which was a blessing for her. And as a result, it was a it was a blessing. We had a lot of family time together, hiking and things out in nature. And so we're so grateful that she had that upbringing. My wife homeschooled her for much of her academic years. But, you know, as it is with all families, tragedy does strike. She got close to her grandfather in very young. And she entered her teen years. He contracted cancer, and he passed away in 2009, and that was very hard on her.
From cancer?
Yes. And so, again, tragedy strikes, and it's difficult, especially for young people.
Correct.
We made a major move about...
Tell us about that.
Less than a year later to Tennessee, and for the purpose, Brianna had been inspired a few years earlier in... As a family, we read a mission story about a missionary pilot and some of his adventures in other countries, and this was very inspiring to her, and it planted a seed in her mind that someday I would like to be a mission pilot.
Interesting.
And so after her grandfather passed away, as a family, we discussed the possibility. She was getting ready to go into her high school years. And we started looking for a school, even out of state, that would teach young people, high school age, to get their pilot's license at a very young age, along with their academic experience. And so we found a school in Tennessee and made the decision to make the major change and move across the country.
Long ways across the country.
Long ways. And it was traumatic. On all of us, not only because she had lost her grandfather, but as a result, she had to leave her friends here and move across to a different place, don't know anybody. And it was a transition for all of us. And, you know, as parents, the teen years can be challenging, 13, 14, 15, and she was just turning 15. And so we went through a difficult first year there. I'll let my wife share some of
sure, Mary, go
the
ahead.
Events.
Not to pass over her younger years, I do want to say, because I'm sure there's a lot of listeners that are wondering, well, you must have had financial backing that you could stay home, you know, and homeschool, because most parents nowadays both have to work.
True.
Also, you know, moving across country. No, for us, it's always been a walk of faith. And so we've never had a lot, but we've always put Brianna as, when we decided that the Lord gave us direction to have a child, we decided that she would come first. And the reason being is, I think a lot of times, the times we live in, we're having all these children, and we don't realize how we are responsible to let them be a blessing to society and not drain society. That was our goal. And so, of course, before we even had Brianna, you know, we read a lot of Christian books, child guidance, and just a lot of different books that gave us the tools we needed True. To raise her. Brianna was baptized when she was 9. She was very involved in church. And I'm so thankful for churches that bring children and mentor them and not push them away. We need to, again, our churches need to do that, because they want to feel loved and, you know, feel Yes. part of the church. So, but anyway, so as my husband stated, when we did move to Tennessee, it was a sacrifice for us to do that. But we did it, and the Lord provided. And of course, when we got there, as he stated, his father had passed away. So Brianna actually went into a very deep depression mm-hmm. for about 6 months, actually. And Rod and I just prayed and prayed. We didn't know what, you know, what to do. We were in a new environment. We didn't know a lot of people. And so we were like, Lord, what do we do? And the Lord really put it on my heart to find a Christian counselor for her. Mm. And so I did that. And mainly because I felt that at that time, she needed to talk to somebody. And maybe sometimes our children need somebody who are out of the situation. So I did that. And of course, she was not happy with that. But she went. We went together. We met the counselor. And then they wound up becoming very close, her and the counselor. She has been a blessing to Brianna's life. Okay. Then shortly after that, I decided, you know, she needs to get involved in community. Many of our children, not to downplay the issues or the emotions that they're going through, but I felt like I need to get her eyes on other people, in the sense of, there are others out there who are having it worse than she is. So I got her involved in a Christian, most of them there are Christians, thrift and store. There's a thrift store. The proceeds go for children who have been abused and taken out of the homes. So she wasn't happy with that, but we went down there, we applied, we got her enrolled in that, and she wound up the first day. She told me, Mom, now you're going to come pick me up, right, in an hour. And, you know, I figured, yes, I'll pick you up in an hour. Well, I'm only going to do the minimum that I have to do, because she didn't want to be there. But again, that's where I feel we need to reclaim our families, and we need to put our foot down with our children. And sometimes they don't like the decisions we make, but we need to, with God's guidance, we need to do that. So anyway, I dropped her off, and I'll never forget, I got home that day. And not maybe more than 10 minutes of being home, the phone rang, and it was her. And I thought, oh, no, she's that unhappy. But instead, she wound up telling me she wanted to be there all day. She clicked with everybody. Again, it was an answer to prayer. So she did very well. She got involved there in Tennessee with her flight career, and it was a hard road for her, but then she got involved. She decided she would become also, she wanted to do her AMP, which is a mechanics license for airplanes. So she got involved with that and started doing an apprenticeship. And that was
keeping her very busy with the academic studies and then flight time. And now some time set aside to learn the AMP apprenticeship.
Yeah, we need to take a break, and then when we come back, I'll ask you guys some questions. Listeners, welcome to Christ Today, KKXX 930 AM, 104.5 FM. Hope you're listening. Hope you're encouraged and being really ministered to today by two people who are going to experience what it feels like to lose a child. And I hope it really encourages you to look outside the box and be thankful for what you have. And if you have kids, be thankful that you have children and that you're able to have time with them. And if you really love this show, feel free to call 894-7325, 894-7325. Let me know. Your host, Curtis Smith. Listeners, I'm talking to you. Feel free to give me a call. Let me know if you like the show or not, because I'm on the air not for myself, but for you guys. Back to the program. Let's pick up where we left off at.
So as my wife was stating, there were some challenges we had once we moved to Tennessee.
Please tell us about those.
Brianna did get involved with a ministry as a thrift store, and that really helped her with some of the emotional challenges that teenagers go through. She also was dealing with the loss of her grandfather, and that was traumatic. But through the whole process, we as a family learned to rely more heavily upon the Lord and trusting Him at each step of our growth process, the journey that we go through in this life, raising children. And Brianna was a very active child. She was involved with flight training, an AMP apprenticeship for learning to work on planes, engines, and other parts of the aircraft. She was doing that. And at some point while we were there, she wanted to pursue yet another interest of hers.
And that was scuba diving. Yeah, I just got on
that. And we looked at that. That's fine. You know, children need to be involved with various endeavors. And so we thought this would be a good hobby for her. And that's the way we thought it would remain. No, not with Brianna. She always wants to take any issue that she has and go as far as she can with it, or any hobby. And so as a result, though, as my wife had mentioned, we didn't have a whole lot of money, but we did make some sacrifices and helped her with getting the various...
Her ratings
mm-hmm. with scuba diving. She had a number of dives while we were there. There was a quarry we went out toward Knoxville, and we would spend half a day. And she really enjoyed it. She loved it. So
that's good news.
That helped. And all the while, Brianna has been the type where she has never really related well to her own age group. She's always done better with people twice, three times her age. And that, I think, has also contributed to her maturing earlier in life than as many young people don't mature until, you know, they get into their 20s or even later. And she was quite mature. A lot of the friends we had who saw her growing up, she says she acts like an adult. She's only a teenager. And so that was a big blessing to us, relying upon the Lord to raise a child that He would be pleased having as a blessing to the world. And we were pleased that we had this privilege and this opportunity.
So you guys came back after 2 years of being in Tennessee. Have you went over that yet or not? You want to talk about a little bit?
No. Before we come back, so while we were there, she was able to acquire the reason we went was primarily for flight training. She got her license. But at a Christian concert one summer, she met a group of young men who were involved in a media ministry, Christian media ministry, and they were located here in Paradise, California. And so she thought that she would like to be involved in media as well, and adding this to her all the other activities she was involved in. And so we made a family decision that it'd be best to, as a family, we returned to California. We were originally from this state. And that's why we came back, primarily to help her continue her education and training and learning in media. And it was in the Paradise area. So that's why we returned to Butte County.
How was that? How was that experience? And for her, how was the adjustment of coming back to Butte County?
The adjustment coming back to California was easier than it was when we left the state. She was younger, for one, and so bigger challenges. She had learned while we were in Tennessee, as she matured, as parents, we saw that she was learning to trust God more in the day-to-day decisions. You know, young people have challenges, and parents need to know, how can we minister to our children at every level so that they can be a blessing to others? And through the loss of her grandfather and the challenges of moving to a new place and learning new people, and going through that age bracket that you have challenges as a teenager, God got us through. So coming back, she was 17.
And she was more settled, I'd say.
And more settled.
She knew
in
what
herself.
She wanted.
She knew what she wanted to do in life. She already was focused on doing something in aviation. What exactly, she didn't know. But the first year she came back, her senior year in high school, she got involved in two mission trips. And it was in these mission trips.
Tell us about that, Ron.
That she really saw that this is where God was wanting her to spend her life, in missions, aviation.
Go a little bit into that.
Spring of 2013, she went down with a group to Panama, and they were building a facility, a school, and she got to meet a number of people. But one of the blessings of that trip was not only did she see the poverty in some of these third world countries, but she got to meet a friend roughly her age, which turned out, at least initially, was a real blessing for her, and they bonded very closely. And so she really was excited about this mission trip. When she got, it was like over a 10-day break period from school, and as a result, she came back and she says, "Mom, Dad, I want to go on another one." And so plans were already set in motion to go back to, this time to South America, another country, with another group, in the fall of the year after she graduated. And that trip was a real blessing for her because she didn't know anybody on that trip, and she got to meet a lady who was a native of Peru, who she really hit it off like a second mother. But there was even more poverty, Curtis, in Ecuador than she saw in Panama. And it was there that we really think the Holy Spirit sprouted a seed in her experience where I want to serve these people as I go into my adult life.
That's pretty interesting. So did she living here in Paradise, did you see her do a missionary work of any sort out here? Heart of Missions out here, while she was in Paradise, was there things that she was doing that showed that you see what I'm saying, where it made you think that she wished she was still on the mission field, even though she was living at home with family in Paradise?
I think we would find more of that out when Brianna did pass away. But I think and she was involved with the Little Light Studios. She was doing missions with them, helping them with the different messages that they were involved in, because it's, as we said, it's a studio. And they do all that kind of
Christian programming
and stuff. So anyway, she was doing that. And of course, as my husband said, we had her on two trips, but then of course she went on a third trip to Japan. In Tennessee, she really fell in love with photography, and she's did very well in that. And that's where she fell in love with the Japanese people, where she actually wanted to go there for a year to teach English.
Like a student missionary.
Yeah, and so that she just really loved the culture. And so she went there.
She started learning the language, too.
Yeah, she was taking the language here, doing that. Of course, she had just enrolled in Butte because she felt that if she had her aviation license, she was going to be getting her commercial in December. Ending of December was the goal, to get her commercial. Also, she was learning, of course, as my husband said, mechanics. But she also felt that if she could have her nursing degree, that would also help with the people over there, because they don't have a lot of doctors and even just, nurses. So she actually had just enrolled in Butte. We both enrolled together, and she was going to go into the nursing program there.
Oh, cool.
January. So January 18th, she was going to start Butte.
Brianna was an inspiration to her mother.
I heard that. I wanted to go back on something real quick with you guys. You said that you guys had signed up for that together?
She signed up for the nursing program.
Oh, you mm-hmm. Not the both of you, just her?
She started with that, and while she was going, I was going to finish up my degree in social work. So okay. We were both going to actually be carpooling together.
Okay.
Yeah. But Brianna was inspirational in her mother coming back to school to finish her degree that she started 20-some years ago.
Mm.
And so that, when you have an external source pushing you, there's another incentive. And sure. So she said, "We will go together, Mom, and I'll be in one class, you'll be in your class, and and we'll do this together. So that was a very encouragement to her mother.
We both were signed up to start January, but the collision occurred December 19th. Mm. So actually, I had to go in and unroll both of us for the time being.
But just going back briefly to the mission trips, and this is something I would like to leave with our listening audience today. It doesn't matter the age group that we are in life. We all have a fallen, sinful nature to deal with. And there are issues that we have once in between each other from time to time. The Bible says we're not fighting flesh and blood, but we're fighting principalities and powers. Mm-hmm. This relationship that I had mentioned earlier about this girlfriend that she had met at when they were on the Panama trip, unfortunately, because of a third-party influence, after just a few months being back in the States, the relationship went sour. And they tried to patch it up and repair it, but it just wouldn't work. A year goes by, and Brianna feels the burden that she needs to clear the air and do everything in her power to at least try to reconcile, even if the relationship wouldn't be. And so she wrote a letter back in August last year to this friend of hers. And I'd like to read a little bit.
Sure, please do.
From this letter, because it is so profound for a teenager to write a letter like this, that they would humble themselves and take the bigger role to try to reconcile a broken relationship.
Sure, before you do that. Listeners, you're listening to KKXX 930 AM on 104.5 FM, Christ Today, with your host Curtis Smith, and speaking with us right now is guest Rod Cassidy, and he just recently experienced a tragedy loss. Well, not really a tragedy loss in a sense, but in a sense, she's in a much better place. But he is talking today about going through the experience of earthly losing a child. So we'll get back to Rod. Go ahead.
So as I was stating, there was a letter that we found that my daughter had written to this friend of hers that the relationship went sour a year before. And the reason I'm doing this is because it really tugs on our hearts when we first read this. She had shared with her mother just, a week before her?
The Saturday before.
Her
that
tragic
Friday.
Death. Mm-hmm. That she had made the steps to try to repair or reconcile the relationship. And so this is what she wrote. I'll read a few lines. If I have learned anything from my life, it is that hate is a powerful emotion. It destroys your life and makes you a bitter person. I normally would push on and continue with my life, accepting that you played a small part in my life, and that life continues as we go on separate journeys in our lives. But as Christians, there comes with it a certain level of awareness that we both believe in God and that He's coming soon. We both want to be ready when He comes. How am I supposed to be ready for His return when I harbor feelings of hate towards you? Mm-hmm. Maybe not in this life on earth, but we certainly can't go to heaven and avoid each other in hopes that heaven is big enough for both of us. I also know I can't wait for heaven to forgive you and move on. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the future holds, but I do know that believing in Jesus, we know that it is our responsibility to be examples for God. Mm-hmm. Now keep in mind, this is coming from a 19-year-old.
Yeah. Obviously, it's coming from the Holy Spirit.
Well, absolutely. Considering you didn't know me as long as some of your other friends, maybe, it was never that big of a deal to you. But for me, I lost not just you that day, but I also lost your friends. Good girls are hard, very hard to find. Girls that become like a sister, that are there for you, and are there for you not just as a friend, but as a spiritual light that shares a close relationship with God. And then she said this near the close of her letter, "Take the experiences from our failed friendship and use them to become the best friend to someone who will become your best friend. And if you are blessed to meet a girl in the future, find the courage to trust her and let her in, no matter how many people have hurt you or disappointed you. I apologize for everything, and I forgive you. You will always hold a special place in my heart, and I will always love you as a sister."
Mm.
Wow.
We know that couldn't have been written by her. We know the Holy Spirit has
absolutely.
Because that's not a letter that just a teenager could write.
Absolutely. And so we have come to believe not only that, but that the Holy Spirit was working on her heart to clear up wounded relationships that she had had in the past. And this was written just a few months before her tragedy.
Did you get a chance to send that to this person?
Yes.
Wow. Have you heard from that person since? And has that person contacted you? And
We actually found the response from this person, and it wasn't the response, I think, that Brianna was hoping that things would mend. But she did what she was supposed to do, and that's what, you know, we've left it at that.
Well, praise God. Yeah. God did his part. Mm-hmm. Now it's up to her to make that choice, but your daughter at least stepped out in faith. Mm-hmm. So any special events of the last few months or weeks of her life that, you know, we had talked before we came on, that kind of led to this day or was leading up? I mean, was there anything that you guys were having a hard time asking questions this morning?
I think that this actually, I found out, we didn't find the letter until after Brianna passed away. But that Saturday, as my husband said, is the Saturday before the Friday she passed away, she told me about the letter. So I kind of already, like my husband said, I saw some real decisions that she was contemplating in her own life. But that Monday, Brianna had started working at a department store to try and help with the expenses for her flight, because it is very expensive. Mm-hmm. And my husband hadn't worked for about a year, so things were getting really, really tight for us. But Brianna got a job. She prayed about it, and she got a job, and she knew that the Lord was leading in that. And so she was really working hard. That Monday, things had gotten pretty bad financially for my husband and I. So I was really praying before the Lord that morning that something had to happen. We really needed help. And so that morning, I had a call from a friend that I had met some time ago, and my husband and I, he's a friend of my husband and I, and he called me that morning. And several months before that, we had helped him, and that was a really big stretch of our faith, especially when you have a child, because you can do without as parents. You learn to do without, but you know your children have to be fed and clothed. And so when the Lord really, the Holy Spirit really spoke to me strongly that I was supposed to help him months before this incident, it was a real struggle. But I did, and I helped him. So that morning, that Monday, he called me and he said that he had been blessed with some back benefits and that he wanted to help us. He had been struggling too. To help us, if that's what the Lord really wanted him to do. He wanted to make sure that's what the Lord really wanted him to do. So anyway, he did help us. And so that Monday when Brianna came home from evening, she came home from work. She basically, I told her what had happened. And she was really pleased. I mean, I can't even say pleased, but she was just, she actually was almost in tears. She couldn't believe that somebody wanted to sponsor her. It wasn't that she didn't believe that God could do that. It was that she hadn't been praying for that. She felt that the Lord provided a job, and that was her answer to prayer in helping herself. But when she found out about the sponsorship, she knew she was going to be able to start her mission pilot a lot sooner than she had planned. So that was a really special thing that happened to her. I think it as my husband and I have talked, it really cemented for Brianna how much the Lord loved her. So that week she was just working a lot. She was working a lot of hours.
It was a week before Christmas.
Right. So it was very, very busy for her. And it was that Friday that she was leaving for work. It was kind of a gloomy day outside. It had been raining, and so I took her outside. And in the area we live in, there's been a lot of accidents. So I always tell her before she leaves, you know, be careful. But that morning, she asked me. She said, "Don't you trust me?" And I told her, "I said I trust you. I just don't trust the other drivers in the area." I said, "So just be careful." And so she told me, she says, "Mom, you have to let me go." And really,
that right there says something.
Yes, right there. As we look back, it was really prophetic. But I told her I loved her, and she told me she loved me, and so she left. Well, I got ready for work that morning, and I was about 11:40, 11:50, because she was supposed to get off at 12. I had sent her a text earlier, but I hadn't heard back from her, and I thought she usually gets back to me during her breaks, but she didn't. And so, you know, I just thought, well, maybe she's that busy, she didn't get a break. And so about, I think it was about 12:15, I still hadn't heard anything from her. And so I text my husband, because I was at work. Have you heard from Brianna? He said, no. So I just thought, well, maybe she stayed on a little longer, which she always would text me if she was. So that was, you know, I thought, well, maybe she just got that busy. But about a 1:30, I got a call, and I noticed it was a local number. And so I thought, you know what, I need to excuse myself and listen to the message. So I did, and I listened to the message, and it was from a social worker at Inlow Hospital. So I called him back, and he asked me if I was somewhere where I could talk, and I told him yes. And I asked him what was wrong, and he told me that there had been a really bad accident that Brianna had been in, and I asked him, was she okay, you know? And he told me she didn't make it. So at that point, I said, I have to call, you have to talk to my husband, and excuse me. Mm-hmm. And I told him, I can't talk to you right now, but I'll have my husband call you. And so I called home, and I told my husband, and then he called the hospital.
You want to go into that, Russ?
In talking with the hospital, I also spoke with the social worker, and he shared with me what he knew. Of course, you have the initial sudden wave of shock that hits you, and you're looking for information because how you know, there's got to be a mistake. You know, this can't be. I asked some questions he couldn't answer. He put the CHP on the line, and she answered some questions. She, from what she knew, she was the first responder, law enforcement responder on the scene, and she explained what had happened as she best knew it, that a vehicle, a red truck, was traveling to Paradise and lost control and went through the meridian and up over into oncoming traffic and collided with our daughter head-on.
Wow. And I think you told me that alcohol was involved.
Alcohol was not involved.
Oh, not involved. Okay.
Or drugs.
Okay. Sorry about that.
And so, as a result, there has been still an ongoing investigation. It went from the CHP the first few weeks to the DA's office, and it's been there ever since. But the gentleman that was struck our daughter, he was a heavy man, and we had been told he had major injuries at the hospital that night. Which it seems, from my knowledge, that he was released within a few days. They were not major injuries. He did have a broken leg, but as far as we know, he's doing fine now. But going back to the events of that morning, we had or that evening, I should say, when we got the call, we rushed to the hospital, and they put you in a room, and they you know, question you. There's a debriefing period, and we're looking for information, and they're sharing what they knew. Then the medical staff come in, the physician, and I guess a nurse or somebody, and they shared what they thought that from what had happened, what they tried to do to revive her. And at the time, we didn't have any other information, so we believed that she had revived, and they tried to save her in the hospital. We had found later that they had to send her. They were actually going to air vac her to Anlow, but her vital signs were so low that medically there's a threshold they can't go below, so they had to rush her by ambulance. And they said they had revived her, but we believe, contrary to that, based on another account that we will get into here in a few minutes. But that night, we got home late after midnight, and what do you do? You just lost your only child. Your emotional basket case physically, we hadn't eaten all day since breakfast, and we hadn't had much water, constant crying. We're emotionally exhausted. But even in spite of that, you can't sleep. When my wife came home to pick me up before we went to the hospital, I didn't know. I had to talk to somebody. I called a pastor and had prayer with him. First thing out of his mouth, quoted Job, "The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And from that day on, I started thinking about what Job would experience. You know, he lost all 10 of his children. And it's interesting, Curtis, the order. The devil first attacked his property, his assets, you might say. Sheep, cattle, took them out. And then right after that, then his children. Because if it was the other way around, who cares about your assets? If you lose your children, it doesn't matter. Yeah. You know, you want to die.
Yeah.
That helped, you know, having that prayer with the pastor. But we got home, we went and laid in her room because you're just a basket case. You can't, what do? You just cry. Finally, from sheer exhaustion, I think I fell out about 1:30. And it just to get some relief, you know. And then maybe an hour, 2 hours, I woke up later. And as soon as I woke up, this surge of grief just hit me like a avalanche. And I thought, I'm going to go crazy. How do people survive this? Mm-hmm. You know, it just drives you insane. And immediately, the Holy Spirit gave me John 11:25, 7 words. I am the resurrection and the life. And I just held on to that and kept repeating it. I am the resurrection and the life. And that was the only way I got through that first night, claiming that promise that Christ is the life giver. And someday we will see our daughter again in the resurrection morning.
You said that there was something you wanted to get to in just a few minutes. You want to get to that now?
Yeah, it looks like we still have a little time.
I was going to ask another question before
We can come back. I won't lose it. I know what it is.
Well, the next question was, you heard that there was a witness, a mother, a fellow Christian who was on the scene with your daughter. Go in there.
Yeah, that's what I was making reference to. we didn't know this at the time until 2 days later. And, of course, CHP, they hadn't shared this with us. They maybe didn't know, or any of the first responders. But there was a lady and her husband who had been shopping at Costco that morning. And for all the years they've been here, she grew up in Paradise. She has never in all her life, remember, going to Costco and being detained in 3 separate lines to exit, you know, to purchase goods and go. The register broke in the first, something happened the second. They finally were in a third line. And when she shared this story with us a couple days later,
How did that come about? You'll get into it here in a minute, but how did you guys got into meeting with her and how this all came about? But sorry, you're going to get into that.
Well, I'll let my wife tell about that experience.
What happened was during those 2 days, basically I was in torment thinking Brianna was there alone. And, you know, that's how parents feel, you know, that they suffered and I was supposed to be there with her. But I had not checked my Facebook, but I had checked my email because there were people that were pouring in, you know, trying to find out what had happened, family and friends. So I noticed that there was a lady's name on there, and I didn't recognize her, but I thought, you know what? I don't know who that is. So I just left it. Then later that night, it bothered me again. So I thought, well, you know what? Maybe she knows Brianna. So I went ahead and I got to her, and she basically sent me a message, and she said, I was with your daughter when she died. Yeah. And we thought, what? Because we hadn't, you know, heard from anybody. So I said, could I please call you? And she said, absolutely. So she gave me her number, and that's when she told my husband and I what
happened. This was Sunday night. So for 2 days, we were tormented thinking, nobody was there for our daughter. Yeah. And all the information we had, they did revive her, and she died in the hospital. That's what the physician had said. So we didn't know any better. And then we get this call, and she shares with us. And my wife hadn't mentioned, but as soon as she heard that account when this lady called, her name is Kimberly, she called us that Sunday night. She says, finally, I can sleep tonight. Because
those nights leading up to that, we hadn't gotten much sleep. And you have all these questions going on, you know, and then, you know, hearing what the doctor had said, you know, it was all internal injuries for Brianna. there wasn't actually any blood in the car. It just slightly, it was all internal.
Internal. And backing up to Kimberly's story with when she was with her husband at Costco, three times they're detained. And when she shared that with us, the pieces of the picture started to come together. God was delaying her and her husband so that they would be on the scene of this tragedy when it happened. If they had gotten through any bit sooner, they wouldn't have seen what happened. They wouldn't have been there. And this obviously has become a testimony for her. So they leave Costco and they headed up, coming up Skyway, leaving Chico. And this guy, coming all the way from Gerber, which is a mystery to us, how he could come all this way and not have any other problem. And then all of a sudden now coming up Skyway, he's got a problem by the golf course there. Mm-hmm. He almost hits them. He almost hits another driver, recklessly driving. So they pulled over, called CHP, say, hey, this guy looks like, you know, he's under the influence. You need to come. He might hit somebody. They reach up after him to try to get his license plate, and it's going on for like 4 or 5 minutes. They catch up to him, and he's, you know, just weaving in and out of the lane. And then all of a sudden on the corner there, about a third of a mile from Lookout Point, he loses control of the vehicle. And he goes across it. From what her account is, it looked like he overcorrected. CHP report said that the roads were wet because it had rained that morning. And he goes across the Meridian and into the westbound traffic going to Chico. And our daughter and another vehicle, she was just behind another vehicle in the fast lane. She was in the slow lane. From what we've been able to piece together, he just missed the other vehicle, maybe just a few feet. And, of course, she didn't see him, and he just plowed right into her. So it was just sudden. And Kimberly and her husband quickly pulled over and rushed over there. They tried to get in through the driver's side, but both vehicles were wedged together. The force of the impact sent them into the side of the road, perpendicular to the road.
Oh, my goodness.
And they couldn't do it. They went in on the passenger side, broke out the window, got in. She went in through the window because the door was jammed. And we find out she's a Christian. She's a trauma nurse and a mother of five.
Oh, God.
And so she's checking our daughter's vitals, and they're dropping minute by minute. And she's getting a little frantic because she knows unless the paramedics, fire department gets her, she's not going to make it. And after a moment, people are stopping by on the road praying, and there's confusion. She thought maybe somebody had gone in the back seat of the car. She hears a voice, Kimberly, calm down. She turns around thinking maybe it's an EMT. There's nobody there. And then the voice says, call my daughter by her name. And she realizes it's the presence of the Holy Spirit speaking to her. And there's an envelope of peace immediately in the car. She looks for her wallet, finds her wallet, gets her name out, and she starts singing to her. And trying to talk, talk with her and share with her. But she knows this is it. And shortly after that, Brianna takes a big breath and then the air is out. And so she really, Kimberly believes that she gave up the ghost right there in the car. She passed away. And then the fire department came right after that. And that we have asked about, you know, why is it then that we get this report from Enlo that maybe they had revived her? And she says sometimes shortly after death there is still some vital signs, false vital signs in the body for a little bit, and maybe that's what happened. But she really believes, and we found out later, basically she just bled out internally, you know. And they pumped her up with a lot of blood, but it was too late. And we think God did this because as parents, you never want to see your children suffer. It doesn't matter how they go. And it's been comforting for us that she didn't suffer. She was knocked unconscious, and just a few minutes later, it was over. And so we have the hope we're going to see her resurrection morning when the Lord returns. We're really looking forward to that.
But right now, you're here to do other stuff. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're here to be a witness to somebody with this testimony. So I want you to talk to the listeners out there that maybe are going through a loss or maybe have gone through a loss. I want you to relate with them for a minute and just share some compassion and some words from the Spirit that you would have on your heart to share with them, if either one of you would like to.
Well, what I would like to say is it's so important to have a relationship with the Lord, because at times like this, we see the trial that we had been going through prior to this, it was building us up for what was to happen. And so for me, just being able to put, you know, memory verses in my mind and the Word of God, that's what's gotten us through this. And so I just, you know, I really want to tell the listeners that we know the Lord didn't do this. We yes. just know that the Lord allowed it, and that we have an enemy out there.
Amen.
And he's ready to take out any of us if he can. So as Curtis said, I agree that the Lord now has used this as a ministry. We've started a ministry in this, in really grief ministry. And there's so many people that we've come upon that have lost their children.
Yes.
That are calling us. We've Ryan counseled us. People. Mm-hmm. We've talked to people. We've cried with people. And we really believe that this is where the Lord, this is the ministry that the Lord has given us for this at this time that we're in, because there's just a lot of people out there who are in grief. And mm-hmm. that's what's keeping us going right now, is starting this ministry, talking about our daughter, wanting to help those out there who need help. We started a website for her, and that's been healing for us.
True.
So.
Yes. It's important that the listening audience realize tragedy is going to come to just about every family in some sort or another. We are living in the days of Earth's history where the final events of prophecy are being wrapped up, and we can expect to see greater tragedies. And there are many people who don't have an accurate picture of who God is, and they think that when tragedy like this strikes, as my wife said, it's not God doing it. We have an enemy. That's one of the reasons why the book of Job was put in the Bible. And Job didn't have the inside information, but we do. So we know that there's a devil out there to kill, steal, and destroy.
Well, we know there's a God that gives life, too, and he gives life more.
Absolutely.
Than that. And you know what? She may have had life here, but she's got life even greater there.
Well, we would encourage people to go to our website, mm-hmm. because we do have pictures and we have some video footage. We have both her memorial service and also her graveside service up there. And we've been adding to it week by week.
But we also have other families who have lost children
Absolutely.
On there.
And that's one of the reasons that we believe God has permitted this, because it's reaching out to bring healing to souls who are hurting and who are afflicted, and who have also lost a loved one, especially a child. And we have three stories up there right now from other families and how they have been dealing with it and what they've gone through. Because we know everybody has a story, and God can use their story to reach some people. And so we're open to having others tell their story if they would like to do so. Because there's healing. Like my wife said, there's healing involved in it.
There is healing. No matter, loss doesn't have to be a bad thing. God has a reason for everything. He's behind everything, I believe. Mm-hmm. And unless he allows the enemy to do it, the enemy can't do it.
That's
but
right.
Don't turn it into a sad story. Turn it into his story.
Mm-hmm.
I keep hearing a lot about the word history, and it's not history. It's his story.
Yes.
So his story is going to play out the way he wants it to play out for each of us. And what you folks have heard today is hopefully to prepare you to know that if you have lost someone, or if you do lose someone, that God can get you through it. He can give you the strength to overcome, to come to cope. Because I'm sure this family here, and I'll even ask them, has it been difficult for you to cope, or has the Lord given you the peace to cope? Are you able to cope now, or are you still having a hard time with coping?
Well, we have talked with people who have lost children 10, 15, 30 years ago, and the pain, the loss is always there. It never goes away. It does tend to lessen. It's not so acute. It's the day-to-day realizing she's no longer there. She's not coming in the front door when she comes off work. And some days are more difficult than others. God does provide peace through the storm, but it's on demand. You know, when we need it especially, it's there. But just like Christ was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief all through his ministry, he felt the pain. He understands. And he knows until the time of the end, we're going to have to go through the same thing. And so we need to keep that in mind.
But he gives us the peace. Mm-hmm. He gives us the hope.
Absolutely.
He gives us the ability to render
to cope with
and
it.
To go through it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So because of him, you've been able to cope.
Yes, oh, absolutely. He's the only way that's been able to get through us, and it's given us a greater appreciation of the sufferings of Christ.
Well, right on. And praise God. Well, we've got a few tiny minutes left. We've got about 5 minutes left. Is there anything else that you guys would like to share? Or?
Well, I do want to get this on the broadcast website so that people can go and look at that. It's BriannaCassidy.com, www.BriannaCassidy.com.
And this website is for?
And the website is for healing, for ministry. It is our daughter's legacy. Pictures from her mission trips, also her trip to Japan. There's a lot of aviation. We got some video clips of her flying. And as my wife mentioned, I've stated that we have a section for people who have also lost children so that they can go and find how the Lord has been using their ministry and their loss to reach even other people. And it's constantly growing. We are planning on very soon setting up a foundation for our daughter because she would want us to help support in two categories. One, those especially young people who can't afford to go into mission aviation but have a real heart's desire, and also those who have an interest in media ministry but they need help with whether equipment or sponsorship. So we're looking at setting up the foundation, providing funding through that avenue, through that structure, in order to help especially young people.
Okay. Anything you'd like to share?
No, you just asked a couple minutes ago about the peace that God gives us, and I agree with you. It's the only thing that's getting us through this. We don't want people to think that, okay, we're all okay now, you know. No, we're still going through the pain because it's just going to be 5 months.
5 months.
Mm-hmm. But there's no way that we could even get through it without God minute by minute, second by second, holding us through this. And he's been so good to us to send people our way who have shared their tragedies with us. And I say tragedy because to lose, for us, it was our only child. But to lose a part of your family, even somebody who's lost a husband or a mother, or, you know, it's part of your family unit. So mm-hmm. when that part of your unit is gone, you feel the absence of that person. So in that, it's a tragedy. We've seen, though, by many people that we've been getting stories from her. And I noticed you had asked a while ago, was she doing any missions here? And she actually was. She was living her life that we had several people come to us after and say, you know, your daughter was, you know, basically an inspiration to me in the way. And the Lord put her with people who weren't in the belief of, you know, with the Lord. Yeah. So she was witnessing to them. And we really see how God had placed her in certain places at just the right time in her life. He was using her in big ways.
Well, it sounds like a tragedy, but at the same time, it sounds like a really awesome testimony. My heart goes out to the both of you. I've never been a parent, never been married, so I don't know what it would be like to lose a child, but I know my parents lost it, their first son.
Mm.
I've heard a lot of people that have lost loved ones that they really cared about. But I know there's somebody out there right now that's going through a loss. I know somebody out there listening that's going through a hurting right now. And I'm going to ask either of you or both of you, we have a couple minutes left, just to pray us out and pray for those listeners that may be going through a loss right now or may have recently experienced, or maybe it's been a while, but it's still, the pain is still there.
Sure. Gracious Father, we do thank you for this privilege and opportunity to share how you've been ministering to us in our loss. And we know that there are souls out there who are also hurting. You are the God of comfort and the God of peace. And we can praise you that you know what you're doing. You're in charge. You can be trusted. Calvary proves this. And that soon this whole sin problem will be resolved. But until then, you're drawing souls to you, and you're using tragedy to reach hearts and minds everywhere. So we thank you for this privilege. We rejoice in the blood of Jesus, and we thank you. We look forward to being reunited one day. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, folks, the end of the show, and we're going to let you go and say next week we will be on air, KKXX, 9:30 a.m., 104.5 FM, and we will be with a special guest, Keisha and Vance Haney, next week on radio. So look forward to talking to you then. God bless. I am yours, Lord. Lift me up, I am
Christ Today is a local nonprofit and non-denominational ministry here on KKXX. You can contact Curtis Smith with your feedback toll-free at 855-930-1045. That's 855-930-1045. And join us every Saturday at 11 here on KKXX for more Christ Today.